This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. So far, so good, I think, over there in Yankees and A's.
Yeah, it's been great. We got under five, first five. It's 0-0, top of the fourth. So that's a positive. Unfortunately, Buxton hit a two-run shot here, so the Twins have a 2-1 lead over Detroit. Not loving laying the half there with Detroit first five. Hope we can get the offense going.
Okay, we got.
I mean, there's still plenty of time.
Yeah, we got three at bats. Oh, look at this. Oh. On cue.
Get out of here, baby.
Stay fair? And it's gone.
All right, tied up again.
Look at that. Kerry Carpenter heard you.
Solo
and he
shot.
Said, I'm going to deliver you a solo shot.
Unfortunately, Rooker heard me too as he goes yard for the A's. So 1-0 Oakland.
One good, one bad.
Yeah, you know, we got more room to give over there than we do on this one. So we'll take
one
it.
One good, one bad. We'll take it. The little trade off here in all of this. But guys, we said we're going to talk all the different
little
sports.
Bit of everything.
You know, a little bit of everything here on the show today. And you're going to be waking up early just like us or watching at least the replays of Wimbledon. And joining us here, Danny Kluppinger, to talk about all of this. And before we get going, Danny, I did some research on you and it says a sneakerhead. I don't know if you know or not, but I own a lot of sneakers myself. I'm a big sneaker guy. How many pairs would you say you have in the closet?
I would say I've got above 40. I haven't counted in a while, but I will tell you, growing up in Oregon, right next to the Nike facilities, you kind of are born and bred into being a bit of a sneakerhead.
I might have you beat on the 40. I haven't counted it.
I feel like if you do, men, I feel like you're supposed to, you know, occasionally yeah. Us women got to sneak in a heel.
That's true. That's true.
And a flip flop, you know, whereas a guy can pretty much wear sneakers at any occasion.
I'm going to say I have no clogs, like no clogs for me. So it's all sneakers.
Well, I got good news for you, Danny. He is wearing Nikes right now as well. So true to the Oregon brand.
It's sacrilegious if you don't.
Yes. Okay. So let's kick things off here. And first and foremost, as we head into all of this, is there a player that is riding? Obviously, we know what's going on with Alcaraz and Sinner and how amazing that they are playing. But is there anybody on the men's side that you feel could honestly compete with those two?
Okay, yes. First and foremost, those two are the front runners for a reason. They've been playing above and beyond type tennis. But I will say it's actually a really exciting time for American tennis. If you would have asked me this a couple of years ago, I wouldn't give you guys any Americans to be excited about. But right now, Taylor Fritz is actually crushing it right now. He just won two grass court tournaments. He just won today in Eastbourne. So that's now two titles leading into Wimbledon. I don't know how you get your confidence up better than winning like that. And if you look in his section of the draw, he's got Sasha Zverev, who's actually favored above him to make it out of his quarter, to make it to at least the semifinals. And he just beat him in the final at Stuttgart so badly that in the post-match speech, Sasha Zverev said, I don't want to see you anymore, man. Stop. I'm done. Literally go away. And I think that's a wonderful sign, because even if they do get somewhat of a rematch leading into the fourth or in the fourth round where they can make it to the semifinals, I think obviously he's already in his head, right? Which is exactly what you want to see. And Taylor Fritz has made the quarterfinals twice at Wimbledon. You're getting great value for him to win his quarter and to win it all. I think winning it all is probably a little steep. But winning his quarter, you're getting certainly great value.
I like this because yeah. It gives us someone to root, you know, root for home.
Look, I think the quarter betting in tennis is very interesting. Taylor Fritz right now, plus 450 to win the quarter. You mentioned Zverev, the favorite there, plus 220. Medvedev, the second choice at plus 350. So getting the third choice in the quarter at plus 450, not bad at all there. I do want to talk about Sinner and Alcaraz, because we were actually on the desk watching the French Open final, which was an instant classic, one of the best finals of a major that we have seen in our lifetime. It feels like Alcaraz kind of owns Sinner. Does the grass make a difference here? We've seen Alcaraz bet down to a plus 120 favorite from a plus 150 open. Sinner's floated up to plus 200 from a plus 160 open. Do you have faith that Sinner can actually turn the tables here after making the switch from with his trainer?
See, I feel like you saying Alcaraz has Sinner's number is like tough for me to hear, because that was such a classic at Roland Garros that I feel like it really could have gone either way. Yes, it went to Alcaraz, but it's tough for me to say that with full confidence. But you have to remember, Alcaraz won Wimbledon the last 2 years. So him on grass There's a reason he's the favorite. He's on a 14-match winning streak going into Wimbledon. So do I think Sinner can upset him? Of course, because Sinner's playing ungodly as well. But I do think when it comes to the actual surface, it's impossible not to lean towards Alcaraz. But I do think it's going to be an Alcaraz-Sinner final. But it's tough to say that he'd own him. I don't think if you have a ticket on Sinner that you should be worried necessarily. But Sinner does have to play presumably Novak Djokovic in the semis. So that one could go either way for me.
Talking to Dani Klepacher, you can find her great work over on the Tennis Channel. Dani, before we switch over to the women's side, let's talk about the old man in the field and the guy that seems like he's just never going to go away, made of absolute titanium and bionic bionic materials here in Novak Djokovic. You think there's a chance?
Guys, anytime you see someone that's won this major seven times, at plus, what is it, 650 right now?
Yeah, something like that.
And he's motivated to only win majors right now. It's the only thing he cares about. Get out of the way. Like, why? Like, what are we even talking about? It's 100% worth a ticket at least. I mean, he's made six consecutive Wimbledon finals. Six. That's crazy. So I just think because he's done that, his history on the surface, he's been very vocal about how he doesn't know how much longer he's playing. He's trying to go for history. He's won 24 majors, 25 would be the record. And he wanted to hit 100 titles. He just won his 100th in Geneva a couple weeks ago. So he's got that one check done. And now his last roommate, he wanted to win gold. He won gold medal at the Olympics. And now he wants to win one more major. And everyone has said all year long that if he was going to have a chance to win one more, it was going to be Wimbledon. And you're getting such great value that it's hard to get in the way of a motivated Novak Djokovic.
So let's move over from the men's draw to the women's draw here, which I think is much more fascinating. Your favorite right now, Sabalenka, sitting at plus 260. And I was talking to a friend who knows much more about tennis than I do. And I was told that two of the four quarters in the women's are just impossible to try and get through. There's also two quarters that are going to be easier. What did you make of the draw this year for the women's side of Wimbledon?
Yeah, it's actually so funny the way Wimbledon works every year on the women's side. It's kind of like a crapshoot. Like, you really never know who's going to win. Last year, Barbara Krejcikova, who won, like, played in, like, eight matches the entire year. Like, who the heck would have known that, right? And before that, Marketa Vondrosova, no one even barely knew how to say her name, knew her story. Like, some people just come out of the woodworks to win this tournament. So that's what makes betting on it so fun. Looking at the draw, quarters two and three, like as you look top to bottom, I would say are the most wide open sections of the draw. Coco Gauff, I know everybody wants to hear like, oh, she's going to crush it. She could possibly win this one too. I don't put her as a front runner. I hate to be like the one to pop everyone's bubble when it comes to Coco Gauff on grass, but she's never made it past the fourth round, guys. And she's got a tough path when you look at what she's got coming up for Diana Jastrzemska in her first round. Jastrzemska's won six matches already in this very short grass court season. And I know you guys may have not heard of her, but you know, if you're watching tennis every single day and taking in tennis, those types of wins on the surface just give you confidence, right? Then she plays a former world number one in Azarenka, could potentially play Sofia Kenin, who is a former world number one and Grand Slam champion. So it's not like her path is very easy already, not to mention she doesn't have a history on the grass. So I would stay away from all the Coco love just in this tournament.
I like it. If you want to follow Dani even further, other than just the Tennis Channel, at Dani Klupp on all the social medias, that is DaniKlupp. Dani, we're going to put in the Taylor Fritz ticket. We get to root for an American. Now we're going to put in a Maddie ticket, huh?
Heck yes. Maddie at plus 18-1. You guys, her winning percentage on grass, 77%. That's wild. And she's made the quarterfinals twice. The only reason that she was going to win her quarterfinal last year, but she had an injury and had to retire early from that match. And the woman she played ended up going all the way to the final. And that was Jasmine Paolini. It was just an unfortunate series of events for Maddie Keys last year because the path was completely set for her to win it. And then she didn't. And now she starts the year winning the Australian Open. And she's riding high on confidence. She's on one of her best surfaces. Circle her name, highlight it, underline it, take a ticket. Maddie Keys, I think it's like 18-1.
Yeah, you can get 18 mm-hmm. to one right now on Keys. I have a Keys to win her quarter at plus 400. Sabalenka in her quarter also, plus 100. But Keys is the only other one I think can come out of that quarter. So I like taking a shot there, Q1. You have a Q2 bet on the women's side as well. Paulini over there, the favorite at plus 350. But you're looking a little bit bigger of a price.
Yeah, you know, I'm all about the Americans this tournament. And it's actually it's really fun. Amanda Anisimova, is that the one you're talking about?
Right? It is.
Yeah, she has also a really high winning percentage on the grass. She just made, so I always talk about the fact that the grass court season is so short. They only have three tournaments leading into Wimbledon. That's it. And then you just put grass to sleep for the rest of the year. And the fact that Amanda Anisimova made a final in one of these three tournaments at Queen's Club, really impressive out of her. She's earned her way back into the top 20. This has been a huge resurgence year for her. She also has a high winning percentage on grass. I believe it's at like 68%. And as far as looking at her past, Yulia Putintseva in the first round, that I guess could be a tough first round, but not really. Round two should be easy. Round three, Beatriz Haddad Maia, probably she could beat her as well. So I'm not worried about her path. I actually think it's a really strong situation for Amanda Anisimova, and you're getting good value. I'm all about the tough money today.
I absolutely love it. She is Dani Kluppinger. Find her on the Tennis Channel at Dani Klupp on the socials. That's Dani. Thank you so much for the time and enjoy Wimbledon.
Thank you so much. You guys have fun as well. Wake up and turn on the TV.
I love it. I love it. I mean, it's rough for us out here on the West Coast, but you know,
it is kind of rough on the West Coast, but yeah. I will say it's like, it's fun.
I get up early anyway. So, I mean, it's, I catch probably more than most people do, but
it's fun to throw it on. I watch tennis with my daughter. Cause I played tennis back in high school. Mm-hmm. As did you, right? Two tennis heads here.
I did old man league tennis. Well, like once I got out here,
I tried to do old man league tennis, my elbow. I can't serve. Yeah, well, so I played live ball for a while.
Hence the old man thing. Yeah, you know, like, whatever. It's like all those things
falling
like,
apart.
It is. I know. I get up to new ache pain every single day. There's people out there going, shut up. You know,
trust me.
I don't want to hear any of that. But
get over 40. It
getting
happens.
Old is terrible. Let's talk some more baseball when we come back.
Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready Set Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Mike Somich. Appreciate Dani joining us here and giving out some great insight on Wimbledon. It is an early day for most people if you want to get up and you want to watch all of that. But listen, you can stream anything these days, especially mm-hmm. if you're on the East Coast. Like, just stream it at work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't tell them I told you to do it. You know, I didn't tell you to do it, but I mean, you know, just stream it at work. It's yeah, great. Like, you know,
throw it on
your
phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, you know, throw an ear pod in.
It's no big deal. Just stream it over there.
You're good to go.
On all that again, Matty Keys to win the whole thing. And listen, we've talked about this. The women's draw at Wimbledon because of the surface and because if you can catch a heater serving,
it completely changes the game.
If you can catch a heater serving for a couple weeks, then I mean it's a different game. And
let's also be honest, you don't have Sinner and Alcaraz.
Yeah,
there's not two just absolute standout studs on the women's side. The men's side is much more top heavy than the women's side.
She's gonna play Fritz in a quarter, and she said, "Oh man, Novak." And listen, I'm if you want to bet Novak one last time, I think it's okay. I mean, he's going in healthy. It is again a surface he's dominated on before. He is still playing at a very high level. Obviously, he's not Novak Djokovic of 5 years ago, but he is still playing at an extremely high level. And there is variance on grass. There is variance.
There is variance. Alcaraz at plus 120 is still the bet in my mind.
Yeah.
At plus money, he's the best player in the world. The grass is one of his, if not his best surface in the world. And he's been on a heater, man. He has just played so well through the last couple of tournaments. I can't get away from him even at the plus 120 price.
Talk some more baseball here in just a second, but update you on what's going on out there in the world right now. Still 1-0 A's in Yankees. Good for Mike, though. There's
one out. It's okay. The A's. It's okay. I mean, we have under five, and we are in the top of the fifth with one run and one out.
We just got a runner on over here for you.
We got two on.
Two on?
Two on, no out, bottom of the fourth. Tigers tied at two with the Twins right now. We're hunting one run and then a clean top of the fifth. We got another winner.
We got to squeeze one across here. Yeah, and we can't be messing around.
What do you think the run expectation is? Two on, no out.
I mean, it should be extremely in days past. It would have been much higher than it is in days
present. It's over 50-50.
Yeah.
I would guess it's like 62% somewhere in that range.
Cause it's one of those where in days beyond where a line drive still meant something.
Yeah.
Like no longer line drives mean nothing.
Yeah. Three run homer or strikeout here. Yeah. It is the ninth hitter. So, but at least we have the top of the order coming
up. He is squared to bunt.
Oh,
did we just witness a bunt in Major League Baseball?
Did it not get fielded too?
No, he got him at first.
Oh, that's fine. Second and third. Yeah, well, that was that. Maybe
that is the ultimate great move for you right there.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. But it was the ninth hitter too.
Might
have been the perfect person to be up for my, hey, just get one run across so we can win the first five here.
You could tell how uncomfortable he was bunting too, because no one bunts anymore. No. The bat was like shaking as he was turned to as he squared.
You know, I was a very good bunter. In Little League?
You just drag bunt all the time? You just drag bunt?
I bunted a lot.
Yeah, just drag bunt.
I had some wheels. For a tall dude, I had some wheels. I was a big-time bunting fan.
Get on, man.
Especially in Little League.
That average in OBP, you know?
If you get on first, you're a third.
I was just hitting jacks.
Sure you were.
I was just hitting jacks from both sides of the plate, I might add.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just jacks.
If you're a switch hitter in Little League, you're just trying to show off.
Even at 12.
There's no reason to be a switch hitter.
Yeah, it was amazing. Sure it was.
No.
Yeah, there's always a reason.
There's no reason.
All right, so we have some first pitches here. Mets and Pirates, Rays and Orioles, and Mariners and Rangers. I will say that if you stick around throughout the course of this show, we will eventually get to Bet the Cycle, in which I do have a bet. Really do like one angle in one of these games and then just a side in one of these other games. But we'll go ahead and get to the stuff now. In the Rays and Orioles, we do have there we go. Oh, no. Oh, okay. Got away. Whew. It looked like he tagged him, but it was like, the ball got away.
A little worried when it was 0-2. I'm like, just don't strike out. Right, sack fly.
There we go.
3-2 right. Tigers.
Good stuff here.
Clean top of the fifth.
Hold him off on top of the fifth. We can get that home. So it's hot in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a little bit of wind blowing out, not enough where it would make it to where you go, okay, definitely this is going to be like some sort of, you know, home run fest. But, but I will say Zach Littell gives you a little bit of hope when you are looking at that side of things. Cause Zach Littell is giving up a lot of fly balls and really the fly balls have been leaving the yard. And so I kind of like this. This is not a holdover from yesterday, by the way, in which the Orioles scored 22 runs. I'm not like doing that, which, you know, the Rays led 6-0.
Wait, do you know that
the
Orioles led 8-0 earlier this year against the Rays and lost? The Rays led 6-0 and gave up a 22 spot.
A 22 spot.
And lost.
And all that. But so
insurance.
Oh, there we go.
Give me two insurance. Okay. Let's go, baby.
That's a good one. Gleyber Torres.
Yahtzee.
There we go. Good job, buddy.
And we're out of the top of the fifth here as well. 1-0 going to the bottom of the fifth.
Zach Littell is giving up. It's not sustainable, but 17.2% home run to fly ball ratio right now.
I am going to pump the brakes on Zach Littell because I was going to play the over in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I was like so close to clicking the button. He's actually been very good this month. It's 4 starts. He's got 18 strikeouts, no walks. That's obviously very helpful for a pitcher mm-hmm. who is struggling with home runs. He lost to Boston this month in a game which he gave up 4 solo home runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the home run ball with Littell. And if you're not walking people, I don't get as concerned around giving up the 2-run, 3-run shot. That makes it harder for me to try and jump on an over here with a pitcher who has been pitching well. I do like your idea of like, hey, I'm going to try and pinpoint a couple guys, go over hits, runs, RBIs, go hit a home run price, things like that, because Littell has given up a home run.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was, to me, Gunnar Henderson's price was too short. He's hitting in the 3-hole, but right behind him in the 4-hole is Rhino Hearn.
He likes to take the yard.
And he's got 12 on the year as it is anyway, so I went Rhino Hearn at a much bigger price than Gunnar Henderson. Now, listen, is Gunnar Henderson more likely to hit a home run than O'Hearn? Yes, but it is literally half the price.
Yeah.
And it's not half as likely that O'Hearn goes deep in this than Gunnar Henderson. So I went O'Hearn as opposed to Gunnar Henderson.
See, I actually played a Ray for my part of my cycle here. I like Brandon Lowe today from a hits, runs, RBIs perspective because I don't love Eflin for Baltimore. It's one of the reasons I like looking at the over here is because I thought you had two pitchers who could possibly give up runs. Again, couldn't quite get to the over because of how well Littrell has actually pitched this month outside of that one outing where he gave up 4 home runs, all solo shots. But I do want to get a piece of this game because of the weather, and I do think we're going to see runs.
Yeah, the other game that I do like here in this one, I just like the Mariners overall in this one with Wu on the hill. As y'all guys know, listen, I mean, I was pretty high on Kumar Rocker coming into the season. I have a what is absolutely dead rookie of the year ticket on him. And
what
whatnot.
Do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely dead rookie of the year ticket on him. I will say this, though. He is not as bad. He is not as bad as the surface stats say. You're looking at a 6.68 ERA, but a 4.0 Sierra, right? And I mean, you know, the xERA is 5.75, but like there are different metrics in these advanced stats that look at things a little bit differently. So I don't think he's as bad, but he's just not, he's not missing bats like I thought he would. I thought we would be getting kind of like that 25, 26% K rate. It's at 19%. That's fine, but that's a little bit lower than league average. I just can't get there with him. And honestly, this Mariners team surprised the hell out of me and continues to surprise the hell out of me with how good they swing the bat. So I'm just going to keep riding the heater here.
Yeah, I looked at the Mariners for a long time. I think they are the correct side if you're going to bet the game at the current price. Like, they're not too heavy of a favorite. Minus 125 early this morning. You're seeing minus 120 in some places. The splits for me, the woo problem on the splits was the issue. He's just so much better at home. He's got a 2.08 ERA at home. He's got a 3.83 ERA on the road. The batting average is 70 points better against him on the road than it is at home. And so in a game where I would lean Seattle, I was hoping we'd get like minus 110, minus 105, somewhere in that range. But because of how bad Rocker is, we're not getting that price. And so I ended up passing on the game.
Yeah, it's super hot in Arlington. So very likely they close the roof at Globe Life, which should help him a little bit. It'll make the playing conditions at least a little bit more like it is in Seattle. But I don't blame you. I get it. Again, like we said, we don't agree on everything.
You're on the right side. The price just wasn't right. Yeah, I mean, that to me is...
What about if we were like betting it or book it, like Brian Wu, 7+ strikeouts at plus 185?
I would book it. I would book it just because of what he's done on the road. I think Wu is a very good pitcher, but his road numbers are just significantly worse. If you're looking at the 7+ number, he has only done that four times this year. And he's coming off a game where, yes, he struck out 9 against the Twins. But, man, it's hard for me to believe he's going to get to the 7+ number.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I guess we should mention in this game, the Rangers did put Wyatt Langford on the IL. Not good because it's an oblique strain. If you remember, beginning of the season, he missed time due to an oblique strain. Another oblique strain.
Not great.
Probably.
And this is for a Rangers team that hasn't hit the ball well this year either.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those offenses where you expected them to be good and they just haven't.
Yeah, they've not been at all. Guys, we got a splits page over there on VSiN.com. Know that you absolutely love it. So you go in VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get involved for as little as $9.99 if you do want to take a look at what we got going on over there. But you can see what's happening at the big national book at DraftKings, and then also the book at Circa, which is taking a little bit sharper action, a little bit bigger bets as well. You can compare, you can contrast, you can do whatever. We got a winner?
Oh, we got two winners. The Tigers are home 5-2, got head mid-fifth, and it's 1-0, bottom of the fifth, 2 outs, 2 strikes. Ring them up.
Didn't ring. Oh, that'd have been nice as we were going on.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, Matt Brown, Mike Somich, and two home.
Yeah.
On the first two games of the day. Very good stuff. Like we said, man, this Yankees team has just not been hitting the ball. And it is an A's team that has been putrid over the last month and a half. But we kind of knew they weren't going to hit.
Yeah.
But like, boy, this Yankees team, something, they're going to need to be aggressive at the deadline. Because I think they expected Goldschmidt to continue to hit. He has not hit. Judge is fine. He will be fine. But you know, I think they thought Dominguez was going to be a little bit better than he has as well. So he's not finding his way into the lineup every day either. They're still kind of putting him in just in different spots. It's an interesting lineup for sure.
Stanton is back. He's hitting 250. Bellinger under 300 now. Goldschmidt down to 284. Dominguez hitting 251. Volpe hitting 229. Yeah. There's just no ancillary offense outside of Judge. And if Judge isn't carrying the team, then you're in a world of hurt. And the result is J.P. Sears goes 5 innings so far. 1 hit, 4 Ks. Shut him down, open up shop.
Yeah, they have, and the Tigers have just been pummeling Bailey Ober. He has just been getting destroyed over here. So your bet got home, but we should just mention he's been getting destroyed. He's been getting hammered.
Three home runs, Green, Carpenter, and Torres all taking him yards. 6-2, bottom of the fifth.
I think they might have chased him.
Yeah, it's 6-2, bottom of the fifth. He's out. I'm sorry, end of fifth. So maybe they did not chase him. No. But end of fifth there, 6-2 Tigers. What do you make of this understreak with the Yankees? I mean, because like 15 games in a row, that's a lot of unders.
Yeah.
The over got bet today, which is why I came in on the under. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about how the under first five was five instead of 4.5. And this game got bet up from 9 to 9.5. Are the Yankees just an under bet until they get to a game over?
I mean, it is a precipitous fall. And it's crazy to say when a guy's hitting 355. But I mean, it's 35 points that has fallen. Aaron Judge batting average here over the last
400 this year.
Over the last 2 weeks, Goldschmidt has lost nearly 30 points on his batting average over the last 3 weeks. I mean, there are dudes that are just really, really slowing down. Jazz Chisholm never really did hit for average as it is anyway. And he's hitting 239. I mean, it's just one of those things where you start to look and you go, oh, this is
it's not great.
This is not good. And until further note, I mean, like they're having to shove DJ LeMahieu in there every day because he's like still one of their decent bats, even though he's terrible.
I'll probably be on the under tomorrow.
Yeah.
Severino Stroman, if they hang a 9, I'll take the under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just and we know the A's won't hit.
Well, that's the thing. I love them playing the A's because to me that makes this a lot easier to go toward these unders because I don't think the A's are going to produce four runs, five runs all that often. I think that's a pretty rare occurrence. And you got Stroman on the mound tomorrow. It's better than Schmidt today, who's only given up one, although there are two on top of the sixth here, no outs.
We're going to bet the cycle here, guys, which means we will do a single, double, triple, and home run. No, it does not have to be those types of bets. It just lets you know easiest to most difficult. And with that, talk about this Mariners team. I really do like them against the Rangers. Kamar Rocker, like I said, is just has not lived up to what I thought that he was going to be. And then also past that, you get this Mariners team is just hitting the ball way, way better than I thought was going to be sustainable. I thought it would fall off. It has not fallen off. And sometimes you got to admit when you're wrong. I was just wrong about this Mariners lineup so far. Maybe the second half's terrible for them, but it has not been so far for them in this one. It is -128 price that you do have to pay there, but I do like Wu in this matchup with all that. And as we mentioned, the Rangers, Wyatt Langford moved to the IL yesterday, so he is not going to be in there for them. So one of their at least better bats, team doesn't hit anyway, but at least one of their better bats is not going to be in there.
Yeah, this is one of the more surprising offenses versus one of the more disappointing offenses. And Seattle's been surprised to the upside. The Mariners, or I'm sorry, the Rangers have not.
Yes.
For my single, I'm going to go to a Tampa Bay Rays hitter here. Give me Brandon Lowe, 3+ hits, runs, and RBIs, +120. We talked about Zach Eflin. It's going to be on the hill today for the Orioles. Lowe's faced him 9 times. He's got 3 hits. He's got 1 home run. We've seen runs galore in this series so far. I think that has a likely chance to continue here. And I kind of like Tampa today. I didn't bet them, but I would lean in that direction. I think Lowe, a big part of it. Give me 3+ hits, runs, and RBIs, +120 for my single. And then heading over to producer Corey here. He is going to go with Sassoni here. 5+ strikeouts, +135 for the Guardians today, Matt.
I mean, he's an Italian. Ciccioni. Nice. Slade Ciccioni.
Sassoni.
Slade Ciccioni. You know, I'm like,
does he have a mustache? Could he be Mario?
Nats for me as my double. I'm going to take him at plus money against the Angels. They're on the road against the Angels. This is one of those you go in, and most of the time we talk about surface stats probably going to regress towards the mean in the bad direction. But instead, you look at Soroka, man. This 506.
When's it going to happen?
This 506 is a 333 Sierra. It's a 320 XERA. I mean, you can tell how bad it's been for him when his whip is 109.
Yes.
But he's got a 506 ERA. I mean, everything about his K rate is like 26.5%. I mean, like everything about him, walk rate's down to 6.3. He has been very, very unlucky. Let's right the ship here against an offense that I am not absolutely blown away by at all by this Angels team. So I will back the dog there. Though
this is one I almost clicked as well. I couldn't quite do it because I've bet Soroka, I think the last two times waiting for it. And it's something goes wrong every time. And it's wildly frustrating. I am going to go to a Brewer here because I agree with Colby, who was on earlier, thinks this Brewers team gets to Senzatella early here for Colorado. I'm going to go to Reyes Hoskins. Hoskins here, 2+ total bases, +145. Going to be hitting in the middle of the order for a lineup that I think is able to, going to be able to turn it over quite a few times here. So I'll go with Hoskins, 2+ bases, +145 for my double. For Corey's double, he's going to Christian Yelich, 3+ total bases, +220. Similar thought process, I'm guessing here, looking to try and play one of these Brewers against a bad Rockies starting pitcher.
My triple is a +145. This is Orioles team total over 5.5 versus this Rays team. Like I said, Zach Littell gives up the Jacks. I'm going to assume he gives up at least one in this one. If there's someone on, it's even better for me. Get me 6 runs out of this Orioles squad. By the way, if you look at all of the surface stats, they're not terrible for Littell, but they're not good either. He just kind of is.
He's been better. He's on the fantasy squad. You got to have a little faith.
He just is what he is. And sometimes we just have to say he is what he is. He's an average to a little worse than average guy who unfortunately gives up too many dongs.
It's the dongs.
Yeah.
Home runs are his problem. If he doesn't give them up, he's a good pitcher. If he gives them up, he's going to lose some games. Triple for me, James Wood, 4+ hits, runs, RBIs. Popular guy in the betting circles recently here, but I'm going to take James Wood over 4 hits, runs, and RBIs tonight, +250, taking on the Angels and Kyle Hendricks. Look, Hendricks has been a little better than the top line stats. Mm-hmm. But this is a Nationals lineup that's starting to get a little frisky. Like we talked about them as frisky last year. They're starting to get frisky this year. Wood has been on an absolute heater the last month and a half or so. So I'll take Wood over 4 hits, runs, and RBIs for my triple, sitting there at +250. Corey took Will Smith at 4+ hits, runs, RBIs over +235, but he's scratched. So Corey's triple got scratched out of the lineup. Taking the day off today. So we'll have to see if producer Corey wants to switch that up. Matt. Tell us your home run here.
I'm going. We talked about this earlier. Ryan O'Hearn. It's +425. If you want to bet Gunnar Henderson, or if you want to bet both of them, that's fine. You can take it up there. But Gunnar Henderson was like 235. You know, and it's just I can't do that when I think there's a guy literally one spot down from him in the lineup and has comparable power to him in that lineup. So again, I'm going to go up against Littell here and get me a home run at 425 out of Ryan O'Hearn.
I am going to go to the home run prop as well for my home run. Give me Matt McCann. We talked about him, Matt McCann.
He can't be this bad.
We talked about his struggles.
He can't be this bad.
He can't be this bad. It's a good matchup. It's a great hitting day there. I think he's got a shot to get going yard here. +360 there. Parlay them all up. +8577. Corey for his home run. Going to the big dumper.
There we go. You got the chance to say good job.
The big dumper.
Take advantage. Take advantage while you can.
Cal Raleigh +260 to take 1 yard. So he's going with Cal Raleigh, who's honestly, I mean, on pace for 60+. Who saw that coming?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing about this season, and not to just get off on a sports talk radio tangent, but he's doing it as a catcher. And that's the different thing. Like, you are sitting back there squatting in the heat and like blocking balls in the dirt and all this like nasty. It's the reason why any catcher that actually hits, they move them to first base or anything like that, because it's just the like, and they usually do it in the minors, and it's just, it will slow down obviously, but holy mackerel, this first half is one for the record books.
When it's every time you look up, it seems like he hits 2 runs in a game.
Yeah.
It's not even like it's just every time you look, it's like, oh, Cal Raleigh, he went twice again. Speaking of Kruntz goes yard.
By the way, first 5, cash it for the A's if you had that. Yeah. And then also, they're in a really good position to win the game now.
Yeah, 4-0. Angel or Athletics here, top of the 6th inning, 2 outs there, still at bat against this really struggling Yankees team.
Guys, we're going to continue on this baseball season with ProfitX. You're going to head in. Remember, it is an exchange. It is not a sports book, so you're betting against other dudes like me and Mike. So head on over there to ProfitX. Download it. When you do, use the code VSIN, and you can earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. That is over there on ProfitX. Mike, when we come back again, we'd like to talk, we love to talk football. We probably could have extended the segment earlier just like to an hour, but we can't do that.
We're just waiting. Waiting for football.
Y'all are in the commute and you want us to finish the segment while you're in the car. Yeah. We get all that. So we're going to move on AFC East when we come back.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Mike Somich, and apparently the Twins do not care about Bailey Ober's arm.
No, keep sending him out there.
Got 96 pitches on the day and 7 runs across for the Tigers, and they're just like, whatever.
Keep going, man. Keep going, buddy.
We don't really care. We don't want to burn the bullpen. And as we say that, there he goes.
You know, maybe the announcer curse is true. We're just talking things into existence over here.
There it is. And here's the thing. It's like, so you put him back out there anyway. You're not obviously not worried about the pitch count, but he gives up the one single, and you're like, now we've got to pull it. You're down 5 anyway. Like, what is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you really think you're coming back from 5? Maybe they do.
I mean, maybe they do.
Maybe they do.
I mean, but it was more than the one single, too. Because McKinstry homered in the bottom of the 6th. So he gave up a home run and then the single.
Now it's the time. Now we've got to pull him, obviously, because that's the way.
11 hits, 24 total bases, 4 home runs right now for the Tigers.
So let's talk about what is probably going to be at least a bet for the best team in the NFL. AFC East preview here, the Buffalo Bills. We talked about this on schedule release night as well. Scream this also from a mountaintop was, not only is the team really good, the schedule works out really great. Mm-hmm. And you look at this team, they're minus 260 to win the AFC East. I wish I could make a case to you guys out there for any of the other three teams. I do like the Patriots. Overall, I really liked what they did in the offseason. And I think that from what we saw from Drake May last year, Mike, is certainly promising. We can talk about them in a second, but try to poke holes in the Bills for me.
They don't have the best receivers in the world.
Okay.
They have to revamp their secondary a little bit. That's it. Yeah. Like, it's a very good football team. Mm-hmm. They should be as good or better than last year based on what they have on the roster. And in my mind, that makes them so dangerous. I think Coleman's going to take a step forward for them at wide receiver, so I have a little less concern at that position. Like Cook at the running back spot. Obviously, you've got Josh Allen. A defense that should be slightly better than what we saw last year as well. Like, this is just the most well-rounded team. And I look at the Jets. They're a mess. Justin Fields is starting for them. The defense has to be better than last year, but like, is that going to be really able to carry this football team to a winning record? Probably not. I'm a Dolphins fan. I'm so out on the Dolphins this year. It hurts. Like, I don't trust that Tua is going to just magically stay healthy.
It's a good offensive line for this Bills team. I mean, like, there's a lot.
Yeah, it's a very good Bills team. And the division kind of sucks. Like, that's the other problem with it. And so, I've talked about this Bills as number one seed in the AFC. I love that bet. It's minus, or it's under plus 200 now. We talked about it on release night when it was plus 275. It's been bet down. I agree with it. I still think there's value in it because if you look at the other teams that are sitting as the top teams in the AFC, they all are in tough divisions. Mm-hmm. This is an easy division. The argument is the Patriots might be good.
Right.
That's really the second best team. If you're trying to find value in this, I guess... Bills, Patriots, 1-2 exact order, plus 150.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
That feels pretty nice.
Yeah, it's where you look. I mean, so we'll figure out how much he can stay on the field, but kind of an under-the-radar signing, you know, in the offseason. Like, Joey Bosa, by the way, went to the Bills. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, a lot of people, like, when we're talking about all the stuff that happened in the offseason, no one even mentions Joey Bosa went to the Bills, and I get it. He's not the same player he once was, and I know he's had all these health concerns, but what if you only really need him on pass rush downs to try to keep him healthy? You know, like, what if he's out there? What if he can give you 14 of the 17 games because you're kind of limiting snaps, but he's getting after the quarterback? You know, I don't know. I
just don't see where they're like,
me neither. It's very hard for me to get to a point where I say, you know what?
They're going to take a
put
step
a bet in
backward,
here or
right?
whatever.
Like,
yeah.
They don't take a step backward. And then the schedule of it all, this is really where the Bills' big advantage is. The road games are cupcake city. And it is the easiest road schedule I have seen for a number one place team in a long, long time. We're talking the New York Jets, the Atlanta Falcons, the Carolina Panthers. They go to Miami on November 9th. So it's not as big an advantage for Miami because it won't be as hot. They play at Houston, at Pittsburgh, at New England, at Cleveland. That's it. Mm-hmm. Houston, clearly the hardest game on that. And it's a Thursday night game on the road after playing at home against Tampa. It's not a bad spot for them. They've got 3 difficult games at home. The first game is Baltimore week 1. They've got week 9, Kansas City, and they've got week 17, Philadelphia. It's well spread out. It's just, if they couldn't have asked for more. And oh, by the way, a Buffalo team that's like one of the biggest fan bases that we've seen now with Bills Mafia. They're only on primetime like 4 times this year. Mm-hmm. You're not even getting this, like, oh my God, the Chiefs have to play every week on Monday night, Sunday night, or a Thursday night game. Like, you've got the week one game, which is fine, whatever. It's week one. That's not that hard to deal with. After that, it's just three times on primetime. It's a very easy schedule.
They're favored by a point and a half over the Ravens. So even in that, even that opener, right, they're the favorite. You look down, and Mike, I mean, you get past the week one. So we're talking most wins here, last team to lose, all of those, like any of those bets you want, number one seed, any of those bets you want to make here, because you're then a big favorite in every game until you play Kansas City in week nine. And even then, I am a little bit more down on Kansas City than most people are. I think they're still be really, I think they'll still be good, but it's a step back and it's at home.
There is a more than 70% chance they're favored in every game this year.
Yeah.
When they kick off. At Houston is the one game. They're not going to be dogs in Buffalo, the Kansas City, Philadelphia, or Baltimore. So you're going to be slight favorites in coin flip games. Cool. Houston at Houston is the only game they might be a dog in.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Philly, that could be a coin flip, depending if Philly kind of goes their trajectory of what I think that they could be.
But it's still a coin flip.
Yeah.
And they're not, you're not going to see Buffalo. Let's say Buffalo actually is as good as we think they are based on this schedule. You're telling me a 14-2, 15-1 Buffalo team is a dog at home?
So you want to do a four-team exacta here and just go Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets? Or do you think the Dolphins could actually be the worst team?
I think the Dolphins could be the worst team. This Dolphins schedule is exactly what you don't want for a team that's really struggled down the stretch the last 3 years. I could see complete turmoil with Mike McDaniel getting fired. Therefore, up in Miami, like the outdoor games late are what I hate. Like you have some of these winnable games against the Jets, against the Steelers. They're all outdoors to end the season. You get New Orleans at home in week 13. You should win that game. But the last five games of the year at the Jets, that's going to be tough for a Miami team going to the cold. At Pittsburgh, that's tough for a Miami team going to the cold. You got Cincinnati in a shootout coming in. Then you have Tampa, who's not going to be ill-phased by the weather because they're another Florida team. And you got to go to New England. They could go 0-5 to close the season.
Bills, Pats, Dolphins, Jets plus 290, and then Bills, Pats, Jets, Dolphins plus 475. You could just bet both and call it a day.
Yeah, yes, you could. And you have to figure out if you can get better than the plus 150 on Bills, Patriots. So you got to do a little math there to try and game the system. But I don't disagree with you. I'm on the Dolphins under. That's one of the easier bets for me. If you want to miss playoff parlay, I think the Dolphins are a great team to be putting in that because I don't see a path where they dominate enough early in the season to be able to hold off the late season swoon that I expect is going to happen for the third year in a row.
Yeah, it is to me one of these divisions where I'm not going to say definitely cut and dry, but look,
they're the most likely division winner in the NFL.
It is. I know you're going to roll your eyes at that. Don't roll your eyes at me. All right. I'm telling you right now. But they have Mitch Trubisky as a backup. And like, I understand it's Mitch Trubisky, and we've seen the whole role of Mitch Trubisky trying to be a starter in the NFL. But if he had Josh Allen, God forbid, rolls an ankle or sprains an ankle, whatever, and Trubisky has to fill in for three games,
they'll be fine.
Like, he's been there. He knows everything. Like, we've seen him have a little bit of success there when he's had to do little spot stuff. And I mean, they're just in a good overall spot, like top to bottom.
Yeah. And again, it's who's going to come get him. The Patriots, obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously, are the one team that's catching hype, right? So is the Patriots going to be the team that can step up and get them? And I like what the Patriots have done in the offseason. I think that they're going to be much better. I think you've got a real coach in the locker room, which I think makes a huge difference for them. Drake May's second season, obviously a positive thing for them as well. Made multiple moves on the defensive side in the free agency market that I thought were good. You add Stephon Diggs. We'll see what the heck is going on with him to help the receiving core. Schedule's pretty easy. They should be the second favorite in this division, but can they take a leap to go get Buffalo? I think that's a lot to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe bet them to exactly finish second.
Well, and that's where the exact plus 150 Bills one, Patriots two. Like if you don't want to bet the minus 260 on the Bills, I would just play Bills one, Patriots two. Exactly.
We talk about those contests here. Of course, Mike and I have had the honor of hosting the show for the last couple of years as we sit there and track down who's doing well in Circa Million, what's going on with Survivor. We're adding the Grandissimo this year as well. Winner Circle Proxy. If you don't live here in Nevada, you can come in, you can sign up. And then when you leave town, Winner Circle Proxy will put your picks in for you. So Winner Circle Proxy / VSIN, their clients won over 9.3 million over the last two seasons. So go in, use those guys. Remember, you can play these contests. If you live out of state, you just got to come in and sign up. And you can get a proxy, might as well use Winner's Circle Proxy. When we come back, we'll update you guys on everything going on out there in Major League Baseball. Is this golf tournament turning out to be, oh man, is it going to get chalky? We'll see that. Hour number 3 when we come back.